Welcome to the Confessions Podcast. I'm Cindy Wagman.
And I'm Jess Campbell. We're two former in-house nonprofit pros turned coaches and consultants to purpose-driven organizations.
After years of building up our separate six-figure businesses from scratch, we've thrown a lot of spaghetti at the wall and have lived to see what sticks.
We're on a mission to help other nonprofit coaches and consultants looking to start or scale their own businesses past the six-figure mark by pulling back the curtain.
Whether you're still working inside a nonprofit and thinking of one day going out on your own, or you've been running your consulting business for years, you understand that working with nonprofits is just different. We're giving you access to the business leaders who serve nonprofits as their clients. You know, the people who truly get it.
No more gatekeeping, no more secrets. This podcast is going to give you an inside look at what running a successful nonprofit coaching and consulting business looks like. Basically, we're asking people how much money they make, how they get paid, and what has and hasn't worked in their businesses.
Listen in as these leaders share their insights, their numbers, and the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to building a nonprofit coaching or consulting business. We're going to empower you to make the power moves that give you the income and freedom you set out to create from day one.
You ready? Let's go.
Hey, Jess.
Hello.
Today, we are pulling back the curtain on our own businesses in a way. I think the other day I was like looking back at the investments I've made in my business. I was like, wait a second. I feel like this is a podcast conversation.
Yeah.
Like both of us really believe in investing in ourselves and our business.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But my thought process around it has really changed. Mm-hmm. And even today I was like almost ready to press buy on something. And then I was like, whoa, you know,
because just wait a second.
Because I think as your business evolves, like the investments you make clearly also evolve. And so, let's get into it.
And to that point, I really think I could like draw a map of like the changes in the type of investments I've made based on what stage in my business I'm in.
Oh yeah.
Like the early investments, obviously like you have less money and you're, you know, trying to figure things out with what you have. So back in the day, I mean, I used to not spend anything and just try and copy all the things.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like I would do Amy Porterfield's webinars, just like attend her webinars and like try and like reverse engineer it.
Oh my gosh.
And like, it was not super successful. I learned like a few things. I used to run a monthly masterclass, like live thing that was like, it wasn't a webinar, it was list building. But when I got serious about selling my first course, which was, I think, in 2017, I invested in a program called Live Your Message, I think, or Experience Product Masterclass. That's what it was. I think it was like $3,500 US, which, you know, was
not nothing
significant. Yeah. And it was good, but I feel like it kind of, like it got me to where I needed to be, but not scale. Like I launched my course. I probably made like $5,000. And I find those like group programs where it's like teaching you one specific thing has a really great place, but I've always found they kind of lack a little understanding of our sector.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's really hard to find professional development experiences and opportunities that really speak to like us.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're like a quick buy or do you
I'm such an impulse shopper. My sister and I were talking the other day, and we were out shopping together the other day, and we're both like, shopping feels so therapeutic. And then we were joking that it's because my mom is a shopper and we like inherited that from her. But when I am very quick, sometimes too quick, and I'm too quick to trust. I've been burned a little bit. We can certainly talk about that. I've made a few purchasing decisions that I have regretted. Do you, what's your style? Are you like trigger happy like me, or are you?
So I was going to say, that's interesting you say that, because I also find you to be like really, really mindful of money and cash flow and all of these things, where like, I would say like, I am a quick start, but I'm also not really someone who like would ever, if like I want something, I'll buy it. And if I haven't been in a position where I should really be buying it or can afford it, I've never been like, that would never hold me back. I would be like, oh, I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. I mean, same, even though, yes. And you're right. I am like, I know my budgets, I know my numbers, but I've always seen these as investments. There's literally been, I can count maybe two times where I haven't felt like at least I've learned and grown and gotten something out of it. Right. Every other investment I've made, I don't see these as like expenses. I truly do see them as investments. I don't have shiny object syndrome. So I'm not like, oh, let me take a course on how to do TikTok or even like AI, which I'm dabbling in, but I'm not going to like sign up for programs to teach me how to like do great prompts. Like it's not part of my goals right now. So it doesn't fit, and I'm fine with that. Everything else, I think I have a strategy, but then I'm quick to like, when I know it's right, it's right. And I can, and like I said, I've only been burned twice. With that.
Only
twice.
Go ahead. No, it's like, okay. So I would say, yes, I agree. Like, I mean, listen, that's like a testament to good marketing and branding, which I think that you can like
which I'm watch also and learn from. Too.
Yeah. Which, hey, is like a testament to whoever put that together.
Yeah.
I would say at the beginning, like it was such the Wild West. I mean, even you, cause you were ahead of me when you started, it was all just about the education. Like I could not consume enough education. And then it started to tilt towards this other place where it was like, okay, I need to stop learning and I need to start doing. And then, so that became where investments shifted to be less about the content and the information and the more about putting myself in circles where there's other people who are going to keep me accountable, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, no, I just need someone else to do that thing. I need to pay whatever it costs so that I'm not doing all of the things. So my investments now are really like around contractors and team members.
Yeah.
That being said, I did this year invest in a coach upwards of, I think I've spent over like $10,000 in that, which I think is like really reasonable. Average. And I will say that I think having that kind of investment is reflected in my annual like where I'll end up with annual revenue. Yeah. Like there's a direct correlation between the money I've spent in coaches, not necessarily courses, but coaches and revenue. And that probably has a little bit to do with the accountability plus the coaches I tend to invest in are people that are like 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of me. So they'll just like cut through my bullshit and just be like, no, like, no, yes, no, right, left, up, down, jump here. Cause they've just already like done it and made the mistakes, which is like, I will pay for that every day of the week.
Can you share who your coach is?
Yeah. So it's Jordan Guild. She's been my 2023 coach. I've worked with her for six months at this point. And her coaching package is something that works for me, which is I just have ongoing access to her in a Slack channel. So I can like voice memo her 100 times a day or once a week or whatever's going on. It's really fluid. And we just go back and forth. So there's no like structured calls. She does give me assignments.
Or she does like check back with me about things, which for me, who can just be a little squirrely, is like really, really, really helpful. I think these last 3 months, what's been extremely helpful is she herself has invested and put herself in rooms with like people making 10, 50, $100 million a year. And so she's just like straight up telling me what goes on in those circles. Like, I can't go to those circles right now, but I get to hear secondhand from her what is, and like trends, tools, directions, things. And like, I might not be ready to implement them into my business right now, but my brain is already like forward thinking on it, which I think is really helpful too.
Yeah. I love that. She's fantastic. I've definitely taken the same path in terms of, like I said, like before, I've done a lot of courses. So back in the day, I did like Amy Porterfield's List Builder Society, which, fun fact, I actually got a refund on because I did everything. This was, again, probably around 2018. And I was getting like no traction with stuff. Again, not knowing the nonprofit audience. So I, you know, the refund policies, which is like, show us you've done the work and you'll get it. I was like, here is all the receipts. I have done everything. And like,
I mean, it just goes to show though, right? Like, yeah, it just goes to show.
And she's like the queen of digital courses. And so I did also, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name. Business by Design.
Oh, you love him.
James Wedmore. Oh. I like him.
I was thinking of the speech guy.
Oh, Donald Miller.
No,
Colin Boyd. I'm telling you, I've done a lot of these things because I like to know how to do things, but they've all been because Business by Design, I wanted to like level up my course that I had run. And so that was good, but that was almost like too much. There's so much content in that program that I was like, whoa, this is like crazy. And then I wanted to do more speaking. So I invested in, I think it's called Sell from the Stage by Colin Boyd. Not my favorite program. I definitely learned a few good things, but one of the investments I'm actually starting tomorrow is, as the time of recording this, I'm actually hiring a coach to work with me on developing a keynote because I've been on stages, now I want a keynote and I don't want to do a course. I don't want to go through curriculum. I want someone working with me one-on-one and just like helping take what's in my head and turning it into something really compelling and entertaining. So I'm making those kinds of investments now. I did that with someone else who helped me with some just like brand clarity. My business has shifted a lot over the last couple of years. So just some strategy and clarity and messaging. And then I'm also just outsourcing stuff, right? Like with my fractional fundraiser launch, I outsourced a ton of writing to you. You're not doing it anymore. So I'm working with a guy now, Mike Kim, and his team is basically creating my launch funnel. I sent him so much content. I'm like, here's my webinar script. Here's my, like, this I've created and that I've created, my brand guide and all these kinds of things. So I'm like, here it all is. And he turned it into a web page. And it was like glorious. So I'm just like, I want someone else. I'm the same as you. Like, I just want someone else to do it for me right now.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if like you can start there all the time. I mean, I guess you could, but it would be challenging because have all the assets to pass on to someone now. Yeah. And like, if you hadn't done it all before, like you would, I don't know, that would just be trickier.
Yeah, I agree. You need to have gone through the doing it yourself to even understand what you're doing, like what's happening. But now that I've done it, I want to level up and bring in the big guns.
Well, he's an expert and
so good.
Our friends, Brooke and Rhea, just speak so highly of him. Yeah. So I'm sure that you'll be in very good hands.
So far, I've been really impressed, which has been great. But I do want to talk a little bit about the like not so good investments. So part of What I have struggled with sometimes is like kind of being a little too trusting or enthusiastic. And so hired a copywriter earlier this year, and it just didn't work out. And I should have known, but they weren't a copywriter for businesses. So this again goes back to like finding the right fit of like someone who not only knows your sector, like they are from the nonprofit sector, but they're not a business writer. They're not a conversion writer. And it's different. And so I was like, sure, let's do it. Let's see. And it was not successful. So I walked away from that. I mean, I still got some stuff out of it, but I would say overall, not the investment. Like, I don't feel like I got a return, not even a financial return, but like any return on that investment. And so what I learned when I went to replace them is like to build more process into the decision making to slow myself down. Because when I make a decision, I move quickly. And I get excited. I'm like, great, let's do this. So when I was looking for another copywriter, I think I interviewed about five to seven people. And I asked for examples specific to, you know, business copy and all that. And like I said, I want tone, like, do you have examples of people you've worked with who you think have a similar tone to me and that kind of thing? So I really slowed down the process of decision making. And now I have someone, she just wrote my welcome sequence, and oh my God, like she got it.
Yeah.
So,
which is
so
like
good.
So hard, right? When you're a business owner and you're just like, yeah, I just need someone with like a heartbeat, like alive, like that's like able to like go,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to slow down and like really find the right person. And so for me, one of the bigger investments I'm making in my business is hiring an OBM. And that's because like, I don't want to do any of what you just described. Like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to say I'm not capable, but I'm just like, I just move too fast. I'm too impatient. Yeah. And like, I will skip through the hoops, and I don't want to for people I'm bringing onto my team. And so Soraya's, her quite literal job is to do all that.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I trust her immensely. She's like been such an asset already. And the goal with like bringing on Soraya at like her level is that by the time a draft, whether that's like a draft hire or a draft material, gets to my desk, it should be like in its final review.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's taken me 6 years to get to my business to like have a Soraya. So again, it's maybe not like the first or second person, but having those like stop gaps is really important.
Yeah. I want to talk for a minute about the power of referral, because as you talk about Soraya, I'm very familiar with Soraya. I've never met her, but she's doing work with some of her other business buddies. And my Kim came to me that way. And I just feel like it's so powerful to know that someone is work for someone you know, someone from our sector, someone who understands what we're doing. Like, that is where I do feel like you can take shortcuts in the decision making, because they're good. Like, there's certain people I trust with referrals where I'm just like, yeah, if it's working for you, it's going to work for me.
Totally. Yeah. That at the same time, it can go the other way, right? Like, if a couple of you or one of you, you know, has a negative experience with someone, then, or coach or program, and you voice that could be I don't want to say a downfall, but it could be the opposite effect. Let's just say that. And so I think what you're trying to say is your network and the referral or lack of referral is just like a really powerful tool to lean on, especially when it comes to hiring, yeah, but also for programs. Like if like, what's the program you just said that wasn't the greatest, Colin? What's
yeah, it? Sell from the stage. It was fine.
It was fine, but like, yeah, you're not jumping out of your seat the way yeah, you are for like some other programs. For example, I know you've taken Mariah Cause's program, yeah, which Tanya's taken, Brooke's taken. Yeah. And I know that you like that one. And so yeah, like, you took it because both of them.
I took it because they took it. But also because I liked what she, so that's such an example of like, here is a specific thing to do. So I'll tell you, like, her program, High Ticket Hybrid, is why I took that course, because it was a model that I wanted to replicate and adjust a little for working with consultants who work with charities. But like, it was very much like a business, like a thing in a box, right? Like, everything is figured out. It's all there. And it's just like, watch and implement. And so I had the clarity based on their experiences, like, oh, I want this for my business. So that was like an easy yes. I think she had a wait list and then a like open cart early. And I was like one of the first ones in, because I was like, I knew I was ready. Right. But others, I've definitely actually Colin Boyd's, I think I waited till the very end of the launch to get into it, because I just was kind of like, I know I want this, but is this the best format or structure for me? And the reality is, I'd done enough speaking that it probably was too junior of a program. I really did need more of one-to-one, but I wasn't ready for that.
I'll also say, I think it's okay. Like what you said, I think you can get whatever return on investment you want out of each and every program, whether that's like hiring someone that doesn't work. Great. Now you learn that you need a process to like, I've joined programs where literally I've gotten what I've needed out of it in like the first group coaching call or the first lesson or the first module. And then I've just never gone back to it. And not because like I probably couldn't, but I got what I needed. And I think the point that both of us are trying to make with investing in programs or people or coaches or whatever is sometimes paying the $1,500, $3,500, $10,000 is a faster and more effective path than like joining on the free webinar and hacking your way backwards to try and learn or figure it out. Or, I mean, I've even been a part of programs sometimes because of not the content, but I just want to be in community with the other people in the program. Yeah. And like, that's okay too. Or even like, we have our Slack community now that is a paid place to be. And it didn't used to be that way, but the quality of folks that are in there now, it's like completely transformed. And now we're in community with over, you know, 115 people that want to be in there.
Yeah.
At like, it's worth an investment.
Yeah. I think that piece around community, like, yes, like there can be, I'm part of other free communities and there's a lot of like, I was going to say dead weight, but I feel like that's mean. But there's just a lot of people who don't participate or who don't put in and contribute to the rest of us. And it feels like they're kind of just there to sort of watch or you know, take instead of give. Whereas I feel like once you invest, and actually like I, as you talk about Jordan Gill, I want to think about what's next for me for next year. And that something like that, I think, would be really great. But it's the people you're around and the people who are committed and invested in really leveling up their work. And to your point, like, I think where you are in your business can also dictate the kind of community. So some might be broad. I mean, I just love your community, your Slack channel, because it's so many amazing people who are so caring and giving. But as you level up, you want smaller spaces with people who are you're going to spend a little bit more time with on your challenges, which is what we have our mastermind to do. So I think that I know for me, and we've talked about the mastermind on the podcast before, that community has been invaluable. And so, yeah, thinking about like, that's peers. I think to your point before, what's the like playing with people six steps ahead? That yeah. I think is going to be my next big thing to figure out for 2024. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking of for your own investments next year?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about it a bit lately because, but I'll have to admit too, like while we're recording this, I am like definitely going through some sort of burnout, which I think is past due given I'm going to be 7 years in my business next year. So it's going to come in some way, shape or form. And so part of me is also like just wanting to invest in my rest. Mm-hmm.
That's what I did this year.
Totally. Like you totally did that this year. And I can see you on the other side, like going to blast rocket to the moon. Yeah. So I've also been thinking about that a bit. One of the things that I am investing in with my current team members is how I can work just not as hard for the money that I'm earning. I mean, I make great money. Like there are no complaints, but I also think that I'm like working really hard for it and I don't need to be. And so it's like, what investments can I make to not do all the things? Yeah. And I mean, I'm truly not that there's never more to learn, but like, I don't really need anything else in the education department. I almost feel like until I get some rest, I would be a poor candidate to even be with a coach right now because I would just like quite literally not do what I'm assigned. And so even that doesn't feel right. So I think that's what it's like a little bit more evergreen retention type of revenue models, which is going to take a lot of rebuilding. I guess investing and slowing down so that I can speed up later.
Yeah. I have to say that was me this year. Like after I launched Fractional Fundraiser Academy, I took the summer. I had two or three coaching clients and I had my fractional fundraiser office hours once a week. And I really stepped back from the business and I have so much more focus and energy now. And I'm also trying to like leverage that slowness. So, you know, I have like five things that I want to do in my business right now. And I'm really trying to take it one step at a time because very easily I could spend an extra 10 hours a week doing this other thing and adding this and adding that. And it's like, why would I do that to myself? Let me do this. And focusing on the high revenue, high impact things first. So I'm launching my group program that's going to pay me more than the like $97 course or like workshop that I want to create. That $97 workshop can wait. That will come in the new year or later in the fall, but I'm going to get the money in the door, do the work with the clients and then build out the other things. So yeah, I'm really trying to pace myself because it's so much better.
It's so much better. And like, we're all coming out of, I mean, I was just talking to someone today and he was explaining how he just sees this extreme exhaustion for especially like women around our age who have young children. Like we've just been frying ourselves and I'm an activator. So like to get me to stop is like quite literally like me hitting a wall. And I'm proud of myself that I can even like articulate or verbalize or recognize this. It's a whole different ballgame to actually execute. And so even as I've rested over the last couple of weeks a bit and ideas are starting to come back into my head and stuff, I'm like, don't do it.
No, don't just post write it down. Write it just down.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Nope. Just you need a little, I can just tell, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's where my like main investment in 2024 is. I also just don't know that I've Listen, I love Jordan. I think that she's an amazing coach. And she, in many ways, has very similar business model styles as me.
Yeah.
Whether it's virtual events or it's VIP weeks or whatever. But it's still tricky.
Yeah.
Like when you just don't work with someone who really understands your audience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe in 2025, I'll hire you or something. Cause you're the only one, like, I don't know. But it's just, I'm not naive enough to know that I don't need a coach. Like, I think having a coach is amazing. Yeah. I just don't know if I'm in the past, I'm like, January 1st, like, let's go. I don't think I'm going to be like, let's go. In fact, I think I'm going to take like a good 2 months off starting at like November and beyond.
Yes. I love.
How about you though? It was like a really long answer. Sorry.
I have to think about it. It might be, so for example, if it might be working with someone like my Kim to like upgrade all my funnels and actually like manage, having someone manage like just consistent lead gen stuff, right? So like keep people coming into my business and buying and turning things evergreen. But I don't know. And I haven't, to your point, like there are a lot of coaches I like, but I haven't found anyone who I'm ready to invest with in that way. But also my experience with coaches has been that I kind of coach myself, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want this to sound really conceited, but like, I will learn and I will get things done. And I'm like, I don't need accountability necessarily. You might have noticed that about me. So for me, like, do I need someone to like give it to me straight? Yes. I find our mastermind is really good at that. So I don't know. I have to think about it, but I definitely want to have things like, I feel like I feel like my business is going through a glow up right now. And so I really want to find that secure footing in like, this is what we're doing. This is working. Like I want it to be like a smooth engine where things are just running. So whatever it takes to get there, and bringing in people who, can do it well and quickly, I think is going to be where I invest.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, especially at like, the phase of your business that you're in. And like, listen, we are both so lucky that we have our peer mastermind that provides us so much at like not that much money, because it's just when we gather,
which is not cheap, but it's
worth it. It's like 100 times its value we pay. So we're very lucky. And like, maybe that's a place people are in too. If like, if you have limited financial resources, like finding again, I mean, we say it all the time, like finding your people and gathering. And like, I think that's why, for example, I'm about to get on a plane to go to Dallas tomorrow for Jordan's conference. And while I think it's going to be great, the people who are there are not necessarily other nonprofit consultants. Mm. And while it won't be fun and I won't like, I'll love meeting other business owners, it's just not going to be the same as like when we gather in February for the Make It Happen conference in person, where we're like, all the same. We all get it. We all speak the same lingo. Like that is something that, I mean, I would do that like 4 times next year if I could.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would too. Can we just plug that? Because it's I'm so excited and I'm not even joking. I can't wait.
I know. It's going to be, really good. I've been not the best communicator, which is on a long list of to-dos, but we've got our first speakers. It's going to be great. And it's just going to be so not a conference, you know?
Yeah.
But like, so I can't wait to hug everyone.
I know. It's in February. What are the dates? 20...
8th and 29th of February, 2024 in Southern California.
Does that make it a leap year?
Yes.
Cool. I feel like that's very lucky. So in Southern California, and you get to come and hang out. It's, I feel like it's a mastermind on steroids, which, you know, Jess is curating the speakers, but also the experience. And you are such a pro at like making everyone feel welcome and special, and just everything's going to be amazing. So come join us. I'm so excited for that.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's good. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different. It's
totally
different than like the other conferences I've been to this year or whatever. Yeah. It's just going to be like our people.
It's with our people. I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. Well, my goodness. You'll have to let us know like what you all are investing in, where you're putting your resources, if this was helpful to anyone. Or like, I would encourage you, if you've found a good thing, to share it, because clearly like good news travels fast with this group. So
exactly. Share the wealth and resources, and let us know, what are you investing in? We'll see you next time. Thank you again for listening to the Confessions Podcast for nonprofit coaches and consultants. If you enjoyed today's episode, which I sure hope you did, you can show your support in one of three ways.
Number one, post a screenshot of this episode to your Instagram stories or LinkedIn profile and tag Cindy and I so we can repost you.
Number two, share this podcast with a fellow nonprofit coach or consultant.
And number three, leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts so we can continue to grow and reach new listeners.
And of course, make sure you subscribe so you can get the latest and greatest interviews as they drop every Thursday.
And to our fellow nonprofit coaching and consulting friends, remember, we're an open book and here to answer your burning biz questions.
See you next time.